Shas Illuminated presents the following shiur by Rabbi Shlomo Perlstein. Meseches Ksubis has been dedicated by Mr. and Mrs. Shlomo Nyman, Le'ilo Nishmas, Rav Yaakov ben Matisyahu Zatzal, and Chaya Bas Pesach.
On the bottom of Daf Pehei Amud Beis, the Gemara brings a story. Kreisheid de Rav Nachman, a relation of Rav Nachman, sold her Ksubis to somebody, b'teves ano, that if she gets divorced or her husband dies, the lekeach will get the ksuba. There's a risk. It's possible that she'll never get the ksuba. She might die first. Lamaisa, she got divorced, so she was deserving of a ksuba, but she died before she ever was gave the ksuba. The lekeach, the person who bought the ksuba from the wife who died, was Teveya, the daughter of this woman, for that ksuba. Apparently, this daughter was the one who was standing to be Yairish the ksuba, so the lekuchais of the ksuba went and were to bear the daughter for the ksuba. So Rav Nachman said, there's a pasha that eitzah for this girl. Let her be meichel, her mother's ksuba, to the father. Let her tell her father that she's the one who yarshened this chus to be gave the ksuba. Although her mother sold the ksuba, which is like a shtar chayv, to somebody else, the Gemara on Pehei Omid Beis says clearly that not only could a person who sells a shtar chayv to a lekeach still be meichel the loiva, even the Yairish could be meichel. So this daughter could be meichel the chayv that was coming to her mother from her father. And this way, she'll eventually yarshin this ksuba when her father dies. So she went ahead and taka was meichel, her father the chayv ksuba. And afterwards, Rav Nachman seemed upset with himself. He said, we made ourselves like Archei Adayonin. He said it was improper that he helped his Karev's daughter get out of paying the ksuba by teaching her this trick of being meichel her father, the chiv of the ksuba. Igmar explains, originally he thought there's a pasuk of Mbsar Cholitis Aleim, a person should try to take care of his relations and not allow them to come to any loss. There's an Indian, a person should be extra helpful to his relations. At the end, Rav Nachman was mescharet. He was upset that he did it because he's an Adam Choshev and people will learn from him and do this even for people who are not craven. That's the Gemara. Now, the Rishonim have a hard time understanding why did the Lekuchas go be Teveya from the daughter? They should be Teveya from the husband. If they bought the Ksuba from the wife, that if she gets divorced, they'll get the Ksuba from the husband. So why are they asking the daughter for the Ksuba? They should be asking the husband, the father of this daughter. So Rashi says that Lekuchas weren't really being Teveya the daughter. What was going on is they heard the daughter was going to be Gaiva the Ksuva from her father in place of her mother. So they said, you know, we're really bought it and we're the ones who deserve to be Gaiva it. But that's Pashut that the daughter wasn't Gaiva the Ksuva yet, because if she was Gaiva it already, so then it's impossible for her to be Meichel. And here the Gemara says that she was Meichel the Ksuva. So Bechreach, she wasn't Gaiva it yet. The Ritva gives a similar option to explain the Gemara that the karka that was meshubah to the ksuba was becheskas the daughter. She was taking care of it. It was in her possession, although she didn't technically own it yet as she was never gave it from her father. So the lekuchas came and they said, we want to take this karka. But if she ever technically went through the motions of being gave it in Bezdin, then of course she wouldn't be able to be meichel the father as she was already gave it. Al kolpanim, according to this understanding, the father was alive and well, and Rav Nachman gave her an eitzah to be meichel her father, his chiyuv, of paying her the ksuba. However, the Rosh is very unhappy to learn the Gemara that way. The Rosh asks, what are the lekuchas going to the daughter for? They should be teveya the father, the husband. And he rejects what Rashi says, that the daughter was going to be goy with the ksuba. The daughter can't be goy with the ksuba. Whoever has the shtar ksuba is the one who's going to be goy with the ksuba. And since they are the ones who bought the ksuba from the mother, from the wife, so the father won't give the ksuba, only to them. Therefore, the Rosh understands the only reason they could be teveya the daughter for the ksuba is the case was the father died also. She was the only one who was Yairish. So that's what they said. Your father owed your mother the ksuba. We bought the ksuba. We want to be geiva that ksuba from you, from the nechasim that you yashin from your father. So Rav Nachman told her, be meichel yourself. Your father of the ksuba, you have as nechasim, so you take over that chiyuv, so be meichel yourself. So technically, her right hand was meichel her left hand, so to speak. She has her mother's chus. She has her father's nechasim. So in place of her mother, she can be meichel the chus that her mother had to be geiva from her father. So in meila, she'll keep the ksuba for herself. Now, this shaila, how you learn the Gemara, if the father was alive or not, whether she was meichel herself or she was really meichel to her father, is really a machlekes lahalacha, and these two dais are actually brought in Simon Samach Vav and Chayshim Mishpat, Sif Chav Gimel. Is it possible for a person to be meichel to themselves? What's the case? Reuven lent money to his son Shimon. Reuven took the shtar chayv that Shimon, his son, gave him and sold it to somebody else. Now Reuven died. The Lekeach comes to Shimon and says, I want to be geiva the chayv that you owe your father. Now, Shimon yarshned his father's schosim, his father's nechosim. He's a sole Yairish. Can Shimon say, listen, I know that you want to be geiva from me, but I also am in place of my father. And my father was really the person who I owed the money to. So if my father could have been meichel me, so I'm being meichel myself. According to the first sheet of the Machaber, he can't be meichel himself. There's no such a thing as a person being meichel himself. That's in tandem with Shitas Rashi and the Ritva that we mentioned, that the Gemara is talking about that the father was alive. Because if it was the case that the father died and she was the Yairish, there's no such a thing as a person being meichel themselves. That's this Shita. There's a raya to that from the Gemara earlier on Pei Aleph Amud Beis, towards the end of the Amud. We're not going to go through the raya now. Al Kaparim, there's a Shita that a person cannot be meichel himself. However, the Mechaber brings Yesh Mishachaylik, a Shita that argues that a person can be meichel even to themselves. And that's the Shita Sarash that we just mentioned, that the daughter yarshined from her mother and her father, and she was meichel herself from paying herself the ksuba. And the Rosh himself brings a raya to this halacha that a person can be meichel themselves from a Gemara in Baba Kama Daf Kuf Tes, that if a person stole from his father and he swore to him falsely and then the father died, the Gemara says that he has to pay the Yarshim. The Gemara has to let him be meichel himself. Al Kapanim, you see, there is a musig of a person being meichel a chayv to themselves. Lemaisa, how we read this Gemara, if the case was that the father was alive or the father had died also, has a major nafkamina to whether a person can actually be meichel themselves, which, as we said, is a machlekes rishayim. Now, moving a drop further and understanding this Gemara, Taisa asks Akasha, what did Rav Nachman say? Rav Nachman said she should be meichel either herself or her father, however you're going to learn the Gemara. The Gemara later on in the Amud says, Omer HaMeimer, Man Doin Dino De Garmi, Magbi Beid Mei Shtar Amalio. If Reuven sold a Shtar Chayv to a Lekeach that he has on Shimon, and then he was Meichel Shimon, technically he was Mafsid the Lekeach. The Lekeach now lost the potential of being Geiva the Chayv, based on Reuven's Mechila. So the Gemara says, that has a din of garmi, and the shita that holds that we are done din of the garmi, that's the maisa how we paskin, would say that Reuven has to pay the lekeach for being mazikim begarmi. So Taisus asks, what's Rav Nachman helping out his karev's daughter by telling her to be meichel lechayv? What's she going to gain? She's going to have to pay the lekuchais anyways for being mazik them bedina de garmi. She was meichel herself or her father from paying the ksuba, but she's going to have to turn around and pay it anyways to the lekeach for being mazik them through this mechila. So Taisus answers at first that it's talking about since she was a ketana, so we can't be mechayiv her for being mazik. Cher sheit v'katan pigiyos and roh, as the Mishnah says in Baba Kama. There's no way you can be geiva from her. So the Mechila will help, although she's a ketana, because she reached the age of Pu'utais. That the Gemara says in Gittin, somebody who reaches the age of Pu'utais, it's a shear, about 6-7 years old, they can give a matana and they can make a Mechila, but they won't be chayiv for Nizakin. Therefore, Rav Nachman suggested for her to be Meichel, herself or her father, this way she'll be Pater, and the Mechila will be Chal. That way she gained a lot, she doesn't have to pay the entire Ksuba. Just the question on that is, how could Rav Nachman give her an Eitzah to be mafsid lekuchos? How could he do something that lechayra is very unfair? Telling her to be mazik in order to pater herself. Lechayra, there'd be no heter for Rav Nachman to do that. Tosfos gives another teretz. Three answers that then the Gemara says that if the Malva who sold the shtar to Lekech has Moichel Lechayiv that he has to pay Medina de Garmi, one can clarify how much does he have to pay? Rashi actually says on the Gemara that he has to pay Dmei Shtar Amalio. Rashi says Kol HaChayiv Shebetoichay, the entire value of the Chayiv. That means if the Ksuba was $1,000 and Lekech bought it for $800, was bought on a risk because it's not Mochach that she's for sure going to get a Ksuba. So Lekech clearly paid less. Still, Rashi says that the one who is Meichel has to pay the entire value of the Ksuba. However, the Ri holds that the person who was Meichel, the Malva, the Meicher, who was Meichel, the Loiva, and was Mafsid the Lekeach, doesn't have to pay the entire value of the Chayiv. He wasn't Mazikim that. He was Mazikim the $800 that he spent on purchasing the Ksuba, not on the $1,000, the entire value of the Chayiv. In that case, the Ri says it's not Shver Taisvus Kasha at all. Of course, she's going to have to pay for damaging, for being mazik, the lekuchais, by being meichel herself or her father, the ksuba. But what does she have to pay? She just has to pay what they spent on it. Let's say, like we said, if the ksuba was $1,000 and lekech spent $600 or $800, so she's saving herself $200 or $400, whatever the difference is between the actual value of the ksuba and what they spent for purchasing the option of getting the ksuba on the tzad, that she gets one. There's tremendous revach for her. Taisus brings a raya to this from a Gemara in Kedushin Daf Mem Zayin. Al Kolponim, according to this, it's not shver why Rav Nachman was able to give her an Eitzah to be mafsid l'kuchais. She was going to pay for what they were nizik. She's going to reimburse them for what they spent on the ksuba. That they didn't have a chance to make a revach to win the bet, so to speak, that they made, that's not an isser of mazik. She's going to reimburse them for everything they spent. They're just not going to gain. That's minyas revach. That's on a kasha why Rav Nachman was able to give such an eitzah. He was helping out his karay. Although it was at the expense of a minyas revach of somebody else, that's not an isser. But according to Taisa's first mahalach, that she was a ketana, and that's why she'd be potter from paying, that lechayr is very shver. Rav Nachman can give her an eitzah to do an isser and cause an unjust hefsid to somebody else. Now, Rabbi Chanan explains the shita of the Ri, that the Meicher, who is Meichel the Chayiv, only has to pay the value of what was spent on purchasing the Ksuba or the Shtar, and not the entire value of the Chayiv, the way Rashi learns, is because he learns that the entire din of Garmi is only a Knas. It's not really Mamish Amazik. It's the Rabbanan Dika Chiyuv, that they count on the person who is Mazik Garmi. There's really a big machlokes Rishonim in Tosfos and Baba Kama, whether Garmi is Midiraisa or Midirabbanon. Rabbi Chanan says that the Ri that holds that the Meicher only has to reimburse the Lekeach for what was spent and not for the actual entire value of the Chayiv or the Ksuba, that's because the Ri holds is only Midirabbanon, and they cancelled the Mazik to cover the loss that he was Gairim, the Lekeach, to have. But that thought he wasn't marviach, that Chazal didn't see fit to cancel. However, if you learn Garmi is the Arayis, Rabbi Chanan understands, the fact remains that the Meicher, who was Meichel, the Chayiv, or the Ksuba, was Mazik, the actual entire value of the Ksuba. Rabbi Chanan goes on further to say that what happens if a person gave Ishtar Chayiv as a present to his friend, where the Mekabel Matana didn't spend a penny on it, according to the Ri and a Hanami, if the Noisena Matana afterwards changed his mind and was Meichel the Loiva, he won't have to pay a penny. The Mekabel Matana never spent money on it. And therefore, there'd be no Chiyuv Garmi for the Noisena Matana, for the one who gave the present, to reimburse the Mekabel Matana at all. That's where Rabbi Chanan explains the Shita of the Ri. However, when one takes a look in the Tur in Siman Samach Vav, the Tur writes that the reason one must pay only what they spent on the Chayiv and not the actual value of the Ksuba is because since the Lekeach knew that it's a clear possibility that the Meicher could be Meichel and he didn't have a Shtar written on his name, therefore it's Meikora Zvini Rei. It was a weakened questionable sale in the first place, and therefore he's not going to be able to be goyva more than he spent on purchasing the chayv. Al kolponim, so far we mentioned two mahalchim to answer Taisus' kasha. Again, Taisus asks, what did Rav Nachman give her an eitzah to be meichel for? She's going to have to turn around and pay the lekuchas anyways for being mafsa them. So one teretz is that we said she's a ketana, therefore she'd be potter from paying, or Ramban offers another approach, she's an eishes ish, and an eishes ish doesn't pay until she gets divorced, becomes an almana. So that would at least defer the payment for a while. Which on that teretz is shver, how could Rav Nachman give her an eitzah to do something that's clearly wrong to do? She'll be causing them a hefset. The second mahalach we mentioned from the Ri, that Rav Nachman gave her such an eitzah because all she has to do is reimburse them for what they paid in the purchasing of the shtar, of the ksuba. But she's going to save the difference of the actual value of the entire ksuba. It could be a tremendous nafkamin in what she's saving. Then there's a third mahalach. The Ramban brings arrived, it says in this case she's going to be potter entirely from paying anything to the lekuchas. Why? The arrived holds that the only reason a meicher who sells a shtar chayim and then is meichel it has to pay is because he was miskaven to be mazik. He intended on doing a hefsid, a hezik, to the lekeach. However, here she's not being meichel to be mafsid the lekuchas. That's not her intention. She just wants to save herself. If she's meichel lahanoas atzma, there is no chiyuv for her to reimburse the lekuchas. That's also shitas habach. That's also shitas habal trumois. So therefore, if Nachman gave her an eitzah to be meichel herself, because she's going to be saving the entire ksuba, she won't have to pay a penny, as there's no chiyuv of tashlumi garmi in such a case where she's doing it lahanoas atzma. The Ramban himself, however, is very upset at this. He says, of course, it makes no difference whether they were niskaven to be mazik or not niskaven to be mazik. It was done lahanoas atzma. It makes no difference if a person was mazik somebody else, bigarmi, he's mukhiv to pay regardless of what the intention was. However, the Pnei Yeshua says that even if you normally understand that it makes no difference what her intention was, whether it's mechaven to be mazik or lahanoas atzmo, and she'll be chayv in any oifen, it could be over here is different. Because over here, when the lekeach bought the ksuba, the lekeach knew that he's entering a risk that if a yerush yarshins both from the father and the mother, the yerush will in all likelihood be meichel to themselves. So the lekeach knew the risk they're taking, bought it on the tzad that the daughter won't yarshin everything. But once the daughter yarshins everything, she has a right to be meichel to herself, as the lekeach bought it al das that if the daughter has the opportunity to meichel to herself, she will be, and therefore it's mutter for her to be meichel to herself, and she won't be mechuyif to pay anything. Now, getting back to the Gemara, we mentioned that Rav Nachman was upset at himself. He said, "Asinu atzmenu ka'orcha deyonin," that he gave an eitzah to his relative to get out of paying for her mother's ksuba. He felt afterwards that it was usher to do that. Originally, he thought it's proper for him to do that because of himsarcha le'tisalim. Afterwards, he said, "Odom choshev shayni," people might come to learn from him and make themselves like Archei Adayonim, even not with their relatives. That's how Rashi explains the Gemara. Now, interestingly, the Tesis Yamtif in the first parak of Avos on Mishnah Ches, where the Mishnah says, Al tas asmucha ka Archei Adayonim, the Tesis Yamtif is medayik the word Al tas asmucha to allude to our Gemara, that Al tas asmucha, that if you yourself are an Adam Choshev, then you shouldn't make yourself like Archei Adayonim and teach the Baal Din what to say or what to do to help them, because you're an Adam Choshev. But if you're not an Adam Choshev, there's no problem with that. Even if it's not to a Kariv. As long as it's not an Adam Choshev, it's mutter to teach somebody what to say in Beis Din. As long as it's not a lie, of course. As long as it's in the parameters of the halacha and it's a proper time. And he explains, after Rabbi Yechon had to say, M'sarcha l'tis alayim, Rabbi Yochanan was explaining, why did he get involved in Bechlal? Why would he help one and hurt the other? So for that, Rabbi Yochanan justified himself by saying, "Mibsarcha loytasalim." But only because he's an Adam Choshev is there a reason not to do it. But a person who's not an Adam Choshev, there's no reason not to help somebody and teach them how to taina in Beis Din. That's how the Tesis Yom Tov learns the Mishnah in tandem with our Gemara. However, from Rashi, we see clearly not like that. Rashi says that the reason Rabbi Yochanan said it was also for him to do it, because he's an Adam Chashuv, is because although he was mutter to do this and teach his Korah what to Taino because of Msar Cholet this Aleim, but he's an Adam Chashuv, and people might come to do that and copy him and help others in Dinei Torah, even if the others are not their relatives. If there's no Msar Cholet this Aleim, it seems from Rashi it's also to help somebody else with ideas how to win in Dinei Torah. Because if not, what did Rabbi Yochanan care that other people should learn from him? There's nothing wrong with it. Eloma, Rashi holds there is something wrong with helping people with ideas how to win in a Din Torah, unless it's a relative, where Umbsar Chalot this Alayim takes precedence over this, by Natam Choshuv, even in such a case where it's a relative and there's Umbsar Chalot this Alayim, still it's more important not to get involved because people might come to learn from the Adam Chashuv and copy him, even in a case where it's not a relative. Going a few lines further in the Gemara says, Omar HaMeimar, Man didoyin dina de garmi, magbi bei de meisht shtar amalia. That if a person sold a shtar chayiv to a lekeach, and then he was meichal lechayiv, like we mentioned before, midina de garmi, he has to pay to the lekeach according to Rashi, that means that he has to pay him the value of the ksuba, not just what the lekeach actually paid the purchase price. Now, it's noteworthy that it doesn't mean the actual value of the ksuba in its entirety. Let's say he paid $600 for it. The actual ksuba, if it's going to be gavui, will be $1,000. But there's still another factor that weighs into the formula of deciding how much he has to pay. There's still Haitzai's Gviya, it costs money to collect. It could be that the Chayiv is worth $1,000, but till he gets the Chayiv, he'll have to spend money on lawyer's fees. It could be the Loiva, or the husband, doesn't really have everything to pay back. He'll only be able to collect $800 worth of the Ksuba. We have to factor in the Metzius of what it will cost him, the Lekeach, and practically what it'll end up with at the end of the day. So therefore, even if the ksuba is $1,000, if it'll cost like $100 in haitzais to be able to collect the chayiv, or if the leiva only has $750, memela, all he'll be able to collect is that. Therefore, that also has to be factored in to how much the meicher, the malva, will have to pay the lekeach. You have to see practically what he actually cost the lekeach and not just what it says in the ksuba or in the shtar chayv. And as we mentioned before, the Ri argues and says that all he has to pay is the value of the purchase price. Whatever the case is, that is only going according to the Man D'Omar that we're mechayiv dina degarmi. And that's really the halacha. However, a memor continues, man deloy do dina de garmi, someone who doesn't pass can dina de garmi, magbi bei de mei niyara ba'alma. All that he can be mechayev the moicher, the malva, to pay to the lekeach, who's getting gypped out of his chayv now through the mechila, is de mei niyara ba'alma. Just how much the value of the paper is. The question is, what does that mean? Why does he have to reimburse him for the value of the paper? So Rashi says, it's a lishna ba'alma, it's for. He doesn't have to pay him anything. He says, what do I owe you? The value of the paper? You have the paper. What do you want? According to Rashi, it means he doesn't have to pay him anything. However, that's not entirely poshut. The Rosh brings the Chachmei Provincia that hold that when the Gemara says that he has to pay Dmei Niyara Ba'almo, it means Psutik Mishmoy. He has to pay the value of the paper. Why? Because when the Malva was Meichel L'Chayiv, it's as if it was Perua. And since it's paid up, the loiva gets the shtar back. It's his paper. He's the one who paid the schar ha-sofer. The paper's his. So therefore, when he pays the chayiv, he gets the paper back. The shtar is never really owned by the malva, and therefore it's never really owned by the person who bought it from the malva. Therefore, according to the Chachmei Provincia, the lekeach has to return the shtar to the loiva, and in turn, the Meicher, who was Meichel the Loiva, has to pay the Loikeach, the value of the paper of the shtar. However, the Ramban writes that even according to the Shita that holds that the shtar belongs to the Loiva, and therefore the Loikeach must return the shtar to the Loiva, still the Meicher, even after he's Meichel the Chayv, does not have to pay the value of the Niyar to the Loikeach, because at most, all he did was a grama. And grama's potter according to everyone. And especially now we're going according to the Shita that's not doin dina de garmi. So for sure he's not doin grama, and therefore, Ramban holds, even if the Loikeach must return the shtar to the Loiva, still the Meicher will not have to reimburse him for the value of the Niyar, or the value of the paper. Rather, the Ramban learns that when the Gemara says that he has to pay the value of Niyar Ba'alma, it's really an allusion to the Gemara in Masechta Baba Kama, that somebody who soireif shtar shel chaveri, he burns the shtar. The Gemara says over there that if you don't paskin dina de garmi, he still has to pay him dmei niyar ba'alma. The Gemara is just using that lashon, because over there he actually burnt the paper. That's not a case of a grama, that's a case of mazik biyadayim, and therefore he has to pay him the value of the paper itself. Although according to this shita that we mentioned before, that the paper never really belongs to the malva or to the lekech, it really belongs to the leiva, why does he have to pay him at all? So the answer to that is, still he had use of that paper for whatever he could use it for. So that loss, he has to reimburse him. Maybe it's not the entire value of the paper, but it's the value of what he could use that paper for. Al-Kabonim, when the Gemara says, Magvinon Dmei Niyar Ba'alma, according to Rashi, it really means he doesn't get anything, because Lekeach keeps the paper. According to Chachmei Provincia, it means he has to pay him the value of the paper, because Lekeach must return the paper of the shtar to the Loiva. According to the Ramban, Magvinon Bei Dmei Niyar Ba'alma is really referring to the Gemara where he burnt the shtar, and he has to pay him back either the value of the shtar, according to the shitas that hold that the Lekeach doesn't have to return the shtar, even after Mechila, or at least the value of the usage of the paper, according to the shitas that holds that he would have to return the paper if it was burnt. But the Ramban does not accept when the Gemara says, Magvinon Bei Dmei Niyar Ba'alma, that it really means he doesn't have to pay anything. Magvinon Bei is mashma that he does have to pay. It's just alluding to the Gemara of Sarif Teroys of Shel Chaver. And Simon Samach Vav, Sif, Chav Gimel, the Rama brings these two shitas as to whether the Lekeach must return the shtar to the Leva or not. The Shach is Machriya like the shita that holds that he must return the shtar. Going further in the Gemara brings Amar HaMeimar, which made the Rav Choma, somebody who has to pay a ksuba and a bal chayiv, and he has karka and zuzim, karka and money. The question is, who does he give the karka to, and who does he give the money to? So the Gemara says, he pays the bal chayiv with money, and he pays the ksuba with karka. Why? Each one is kedinei. Ha-kedinei v'ha-kedinei. Bal chayiv is supposed to get with money because that's what he lent him. He lent the loiva money, so he's supposed to get paid back with money. However, for ksuba, she didn't give the husband anything. She really has no claim to money per se. And she was also saimach on the shibura karka. That's what her ikar smichas das was. And therefore, he gives her the karka. Now Rashi says, if you're going to say that for the nechsei tzarim barzel that she brought into him, that she has to get back, he guaranteed her that he's going to pay her back for the nechsei tzarim barzel in the ksuba, so maybe that should be considered like a regular chayiv and he should pay her zuzi for that. So Rashi says, no. Since they included that in the chiyuv ksuba, that he guaranteed he's going to pay her back the value of the tzarim barzel when they get divorced or when she becomes an almana. Therefore, the tzarim barzel are included in the ikar ksuba and the shibud karka is on that, and therefore she's the only goiva from karka. However, the Ritva brings from the Ra'ah and the Rambam hold that this halacha that she's goiva from karka and she has to leave the money for the bal chayiv, that's only for the Iker Ksuba and the Tisefis Ksuba. But for the Tzayim Barzel that he was Mekabel on himself, that has a din of a regular chayv, and therefore she can be Goiva from the money as well. And the Gemara continues. What happens if there's only a piece of land and it's not enough to pay up both the Baal Chayv and both the Isha? What happens there? Who gets first dibs at that piece of karka? So the Gemara says the Baal Chayv gets it, and not the wife. The reason is because a woman's going to be willing to get married anyways. A woman is definitely going to be willing to get married, even if her position, as far as being gave with a ksuba, is weaker than a standard Baal Chayv. Now, Taisus asks a kasha. The Gemara in Daf Pei Dalet, two dapim ago, the Gemara says that the Mishnah says when you have a ksubas isha and a Baal Chayv who are both vying to be goiva from the metaltalim that the Yisaimim weren't machzikin yet, one shita in the Gemara holds, yinasn l'kaishel shabahen, you give it to the weaker one amongst them. The Gemara explains that to be, you give it for the ksubas isha, mishum chino. We want the women to be very agreeable to marry, and therefore we strengthen their position as far as being goyva the ksuba. That if it's between her and the Baal Chayv, she gets the ksuba. Why does the Gemara over here say that we strengthen the position of the Baal Chayv because we're not really concerned about the women because she'll want to get married anyways? So Taisvis offers two mahalchim. Rabbeinu Tam learns that in a normal oifen, we give it to the Baal Chayv first because we're afraid of Nilas Delas. We don't want lenders to be concerned about getting their money back. So therefore, we strengthen their position at the expense of the women's position in being goyver their ksuba. Because the women are going to be willing to get married anyways, like the Gemara says over here. However, the Gemara in Daf Pei Dalet is talking about the loiva slash husband died. Misa is not shchiach. So therefore, we're not concerned about nilas delas over there. The malva is not going to hesitate from lending money because what will happen if the loiva dies and he'll be fighting with the almana over being goyva the metaltalin. It's not shchiach, he never takes that into consideration, and therefore he will not refrain from making a loan for that reason. Therefore, in such a case, we'd like to strengthen the almana's position in being goyva the ksuba, yishom chino, so they should be more agreeable to marry. That's one mahalach. And Taisus, the difference between the Gemara over here and Daf Pei Vav, where we strengthen the Baal Chayv versus the Isha, to the Gemara and Daf Pei Dalet, where we strengthen the Isha versus the Baal Chayv, is because the Gemara over here is talking about when the Loiva is still alive. Therefore, we're concerned about Nilas Delas. We don't want people from refraining to make loans. And we're not that concerned about the women because they'll marry anyways. However, on the Gemara Daf Pei Dalet, where we strengthen the wife's position, the almana's position, versus the malva's position, that's because it's after Misa. Misa is not shchiach, and therefore we're not concerned about nilas delas. And therefore, we prefer to strengthen the position of the almana, mishum chino. Taisus brings another mahalach, mahalach Rabbeinu Yechiel, that he answers the stira between the two Gemaras. That of course, our Gemara is talking about over here, even Achar Misa, even after the Loiva died. Even in such a case, if there is one piece of karka, we can either pay the Almana or pay the Yisaimim, we pay the Baal Chayv, we pay the Malve. And likewise, after Takonas HaGa'inim, where we say that Metaltlin has a din of a karka, Legabe the halacha of being Goyva for a Ksuba or for a Baal Chayv, it's also Meshubit to the Baal Chayv and the Ksuba. In such a case, we'll give the metaltalin to the Baal Chayv first before the ksubas isha. Why is that? Because we're chayshish for nilas delas, even at the expense of the almana's position regarding collecting her ksuba. The Gemara Daf Pei Dalet strengthens the almana's position against the Baal Chayv because of chino. Over there, the reason that we say that is because it's talking about metaltalin of Yisaimim. Really, it belongs to the Yisaimim. Just they weren't machzik in it yet, so we bend the rules a bit and we allow the ksubas isha or the Baal Chayv to be goyva from those metaltalin. But really, those metaltalin are not meshubit, not to the ksuba and not to the Baal Chayv. It's an extra that Chazal are masakin as a kula. Baal Chayv doesn't really have a right meikar adin to be goyva from those metaltalin. If the Yisraelim got their hands on it already, neither the Baal Chayv nor the Isha would be able to be goyva their respective chayvas from that. Therefore, in such a irregular case, where we're just makel to give the Baal Chayv or the Isha her ksuba from these metaltalin, in such a case, we strengthen the position of the almana versus the position of the Baal Choyv as far as being Goyva from these metaltalin. The Kitzer, according to Rabbeinu Tam, generally the Baal Choyv has Kedima, just Lachar Misa, where it's not Shchiach, there we're not Choshish for Ni'ilas Delas, and we'll give it to the Ksubas Isha first for the reason of Chino. According to Rabbeinu Yechiel, even Lachar Misa, the Baal Choyv has Kedima, the reason on Daf Pedal, the Gemara, gives the Ksubas Isha Kedima over the Baal Choyv is because there it's a irregular case. Meikra, then nobody should be able to be Goiva. It's a specialty case. There they were Meikel and they gave it to the Isha for Ksuba. However, in any other case where there's a Chshash of Nilas Delas, we are Makdim the Baal Choyv before the Ksuba Isha. Now, in this Gemara that we just mentioned, that when there is a Ksuba Isha and a Baal Choyv both trying to be Goiva from the same piece of karka, we give it to the Baal Choyv, Rashi writes in Dibra Maschal Yaisar, it's talking about Dafka when both shtars, that means the Ksuba and the Shtar Chayv, were written on the same day. However, if the Ksuba was written before the Shtar Chayv, of course the woman has Kedima to be Goyva her Ksuba before the Baal Chayv. Now Rav Haigoin writes that the understanding of this halacha, that if a Ksubas Isha and a Shtar Chayv were written on the same day, that it goes to the Baal Choyv and not to the Ksubas Isha, that's because he paskins like Shmuel, that holds that Shnei Shtorois Hayoitzin Miyoim Echod, the halacha is that the psak is Shuda the Daini. The Gemara in Daf Tzadik Dalet Amud Aleph says that if two Shtorois go out on the same piece of karka on the same day, that the halacha is Shuda the Daini. The Dayanim decide to give it to whoever they want to, according to Tysus and according to Rashi, they try to figure out who it goes to, as we mentioned in Daf Pehei. So since the halacha in such a case is Shuda D'Daini, the Gemara says that the Shuda D'Daini, the right thing for Bezin to do in such a case, would be to give it to the Baal Choyv, because the Isha Benkach is willing to get married, as the Gemara says, Yosef Masha Ish Roitz Elisa, Ha Isha Roitz Elinasa. However, in a case where it's not a halacha of Shuda D'Daini, rather, it's a halacha of yachloiku, such as if there are two shtarais of halva on the same loiva, and after both halvois were made, the loiva bought a piece of karka, the shibur on that karka hits both balei choyv simultaneously. In such a case, the din is definitely chalkin. They both have the same right to that piece of karka. So in a case where the man borrowed money from Imalva, and then he married this woman, and afterwards bought this piece of karka, the shibud to both of them comes simultaneously, the second he buys that piece of karka, in such a case, we'll definitely say a cholkin, because it's not a halacha of shuda d'daini, which Chazal told the dayonim, give it to the Baal Choyv. This is a case where Medina it's cholkin. If that's the case, both the Ksubas Isha and the Baal Choyv are equal in the rights to be goyva from this karka, and therefore they are cholkin and it doesn't go exclusively to the Baal Choyv. The same way, legabi metaltlin. Metaltlin are not meshubid, neither to Ksubas Isha nor to the Baal Choyv. After the takonas ha-ga'inim, that they could be goyva from metaltlin, so they both have a right to be goyva, both the Ksubas Isha and the Baal Choyv. However, there was never a shibur on it to any one of them earlier. They both have equal rights in those metaltalin. Therefore, in a case of gviya from metaltalin, there too, the shita that Rav Haigoin brings would hold that they both divide the metaltalin equally. However, the Rif does not hold like that, lahalacha. The Rif holds, even in a case where he bought the karka after he married and after the choyv, where the shibud hits both of them together, and technically the halacha should be cholkin, still, since the halacha is that in a case where both have rights to be goiva, and one went ahead and was goiva by himself, masha asa asui, he keeps it. Therefore, Chazal l'katchila say, in this case, where there is a ksubas isha and a baal choyv vying for the same karka, we tell the loiva to give it to the baal choyv, and not to the Isha, even though Maker didn't, we should say Cholkin, because of the Cheshman that we don't want to be Noel Delis with Nehilavin, and we're not that concerned about the Almana because she would marry anyways. As the Gemara says, Yosef Masha, Isha writes Elisa, Isha writes Lihinase. The Gemara then continues, brings that Rav Papa told Rav Chama, I heard from you in the name of Rava that if Reuven owes money to Shimon, and Reuven has karka, and Shimon was teveya, the chayv from Reuven, that the halacha is that Shimon could tell Reuven, be matriach, sell your karka, get me money, get me zuzim, and pay me back with the zuzim. I don't have to be matriach to sell your karka. So Rav Chama said, no, I didn't say that. It's not true. The Baal Chayv, Reuven, can pay back Shimon with karka, and Shimon, if he wants to turn that into cash, should be tereach to sell it himself. Just, there was a particular case that happened where I forced the loiva to be tereach to bring Zuzim by himself by selling his own karka because he was tailor the money that he had, that it wasn't his. He said it belonged to a guy. In such a case, who also shleika hagen, he wasn't being fear, so I wasn't fear with him. And before we explain what Rav Chama meant, it's clear from the Gemara that if a loiva only has karka, he can pay up the chayiv with a karka. He doesn't have to bring zuzim. He doesn't have to bring actual money. Now Rabbeinu Tam, earlier on the Amud, says there's three general headings in how a person is mechayiv to pay. A baal chayiv, a loiva, his rule is that if he has money, he has to pay with the money. If he doesn't have money, he has karka, so he can give the malva the karka. Not only that, the gaonim were mesakein that the loiva, if he wants to pay with karka by saying, I don't have any mezuzim, I don't have any money to pay with, he has to mekabel a chayrim, that if he does have money and he doesn't pay, he has a chayrim on him. And if in the shtar halva there is a clear tanai that he's mechuyiv to pay with money, then the loiva will have to raise the money even by selling his karkois. He can't pay with karka. But if there's no such a tanai, the loiva is not mechuyiv to be tereach to sell his karka or metaltalim in order to liquefy it into money. That's the din of a malva. A nizik, who deserves to get payment from the mazik, there the Torah writes, Yashiv, it's marba to pay with shava kesef, and even if he wants to pay with karka, can you pay with karka? The mazik has no limitations as how to pay. He can pay any way he'd like, with karka, metaltlin, money, whatever suits him. If he pays with karka, then he has to pay with yidis. But there's no halacha that he has to pay with money, even if he has it. A person who hired a payel, a sachir, he is the most chomor in this group, and he has to pay with money, even if he has none. Even if he has to sell his karka or metaltlin, he has to come up with money to pay the payel of his. He cannot give him shava kesef against the payel's will. Now, getting back to the Gemara that we mentioned, in the Gemara's case, Rav Chama forced the loiva to pay with money, even though he was offering the malva karka, and he said he doesn't have any money to pay with, because over there, he did shleika hagen. He was improper. He pretended that the money that was by him belonged to a guy. So therefore, Rav Chama forced him to sell the karka by himself and come up with the cash to pay the malva. Now, Taisa asked Akasha, if it was just that he was pretending that the money belonged to a guy, but it really was his money, so why is the Gemara saying, who was a shleika hagen? So Rav Chama did to him shleika hagen. Why is it shleika hagen? It's perfectly hagen. It's the proper thing to do. He has money, so of course you force him to pay with money. That's what we said before, that if the loiva has money to pay with, he's mechuyif to pay with cash and not give karka to the malva. He can only do that when he doesn't have money. So why does the Gemara understand that it was shleika hagen? That was clearly the proper thing to do, even without considering it a knas. So Taisa's answers, what the Gemara means is that when the tefiyah started, the loiva did have money, but he was taila it be guy. He said that the money really belonged to a guy. But by the time of Gviya, that money had already been depleted. There was no money left. So really, Shuras HaDin would dictate that the Leva has a right to pay with Karka now. Because right now, Bishas HaGviya, when Bezin's coming to actually collect the Chayiv, he doesn't have any money. But since he did Shlai Kahagin, by the beginning of the Tviya, he pretended the money that was by him belonged to a guy. Since he acted improperly, Rav Chama punished him and said they should act with him improperly and make him pay with money, and it's not enough that he gives karka to pay up the chayv. That's one mahalach that Taisus offers. However, there's another mahalach that the Shittim Gebetzis quotes, that it's not that we were certain that he was Taylo Moisev Ba'akum and really didn't belong to the guy, rather it belonged to the Leva himself. We didn't know for certain that was the case. Still, it's talking about the Leva is a person with means. He's an Ish Amud. To Bezin's eye, it seemed pashut that the money belonged to the Leva and not to the guy, as he was claiming. Since he's a man of means, and it's mistaber that the money belongs to him, and the story that he's saying, that the money belongs to the guy, is probably not true, that's enough of a reason to force the Leva to sell the karka and bring the malva money. So it is considered that we're doing him shleika haigen, because Shuras HaDin would say, as long as we don't have proof that the money really belongs to the Leva, we have to assume he's telling the truth, and the money really does belong to the guy. Still, since he's a man of means, and he can pay back with money by selling his karka, we consider what he's doing shleika haigen, and therefore we force him to sell the karka and bring the malva cash, and not make the malvi matriach to sell the karka to repay the chayv. Going further in the Gemara, Rav Kahana told Rav Papa, according to you that you say priyas bal chayv mitzvah, if the leva said, I don't want to pay, I don't want to do the mitzvah of paying, what does Bezdin do? Do they allow him to say that? So the Gemara answered, Amar lei, that we learned that by mitzvah sasei, Bezin is kaifanai sechetaitse nafshai, and therefore they force him to pay back the chayv. And when Rav Kahana told Rav Papa, d'cha da'amrit priyas bal chayv mitzvah, according to you that says priyas bal chayv mitzvah, what's that alluding to? It's alluding to a Gemara on Erechin, Daf Chaf Beis, with his machlaikis, Rav Papa and Rav Huna Barid de Yeshua, why we're not gaiva a chayv from nichse yisayim ktanim. According to Rav Papa, because priyas bal chayiv mitzvah, and ketanim are not b'nei mi'eved mitzvah, nenu. You can't force ketanim to do a mitzvah. And according to Rav Huna Breid Rav Yeshua, it's because chashash strari. We're chashish that the father of the Yisayim already paid back the halva with a package, with the money inside. It was given to the malva to hold on to. And therefore, it'll come out if the Yisayim pay, they're paying a second time, shalai kedin. So Rav Kahana asks Rav Papa, according to you, that priyas bal chayiv is a mitzvah, what happens if the leva says, I don't want to do the mitzvah, I'm not paying back my chayiv? And before we go into understanding what the Gemara meant by that, we first have to understand, what is the mitzvah of priyas bal chayiv? We're just saying in the Torah, there's a mitzvah to pay back a bal chayiv. So Rashi says, the mitzvah refers to the pasuk of Eifas tzedek v'hin tzedek yelocha, a person should have measurements that are exact and proper. The Chazal Darshan, not hin tzedek, but hein tzedek. When you say something, your hein, your yes, should be true. You should keep your word. And lav shelcha tzedek, and when you say that you won't do something, you should stay true to what you said. Al kapana, when a person borrows money, he says he'll pay back. So hein shelcha yet tzedek, you should keep to your word. And that's the mitzvah of priyas bal chayiv. However, the Ritva asks on this understanding of Rashi, because the Gemara Bava Metzia learns from the word hein shelcha yed tzedek that a person should be pivli b'shavin. When he says something, he should be honest. He shouldn't be tricking or lying to the person he's speaking to. It's not that there's a chiyuv to keep your word and do what you said you'll do. That's not what Chazal Darsh in the pasuk of hein shelcha yed tzedek. So Ritva and other Rishayim understand that the mitzvah of Priyas Bal Chayiv is learned from the pasuk That the pasuk's talking about a malva who's gave from the loiva, he cannot go into the house. You can't go into the house to collect the chayiv. Rather, the loiva, the person who has to pay, should bring the mashkin outside. So we see that there's a mitzvah on the loiva to pay back what he owes. Rabbi Chanan Kavit Shiurim explains that Rashi doesn't want to learn like the Ritva from the pasuk of Isha Sharata Noishaboy, because that pasuk is only talking about a halva, money that is due because of a loan. However, the mitzvah of Priyas Bal Chayv mitzvah includes all kinds of chayvis, such as he was mechayv himself to give somebody else money, or a storekeeper that sold on credit. All those things are not included in the pasuk of Isha Sharatana Yishabai Yotzi Alecha Asavaita Chutza. That's only talking about a halva. Rashi wants to include all different kinds of chayvis. Therefore, he brought the pasuk of Hin Sedek that teaches us, at least according to the way Rashi explains over here, that a person should keep his word and do what he said he'll do. Now, getting back to the Shakla Vatariya between Rav Kanan and Rav Papa, Taisus asks, how could Rav Kanan have a havamina that Rav Papa holds that since Priyas Bal Chayv mitzvah, if the loiva says, I don't want to pay, he won't have to? It's mochach from the Gemara that we quoted before in Maseches Erechin, that Rav Papa holds Priyas Bal Chayv mitzvah, it's talking about only Yisayimim Ktanim. They're lav b'nei mi'avan mitzvah ninu. You can't force Ktanim to do a mitzvah. It's mashma that the Yisayimim were gedolim. Of course, we force them to pay their father's chayv. So how could Rav Kanan have a havmina that Rav Papa holds it? If the person says, I don't want to pay, that Besen won't force him. So Taisus in his first Mahalach explains that he's just asking on the Lashon mitzvah. Why do you call it a mitzvah? Clearly, it's mochach in Erechin that if the Yisayimim are gedolim, that we do force them to pay. So why do you call it a mitzvah? It's more a shibud. According to this Mahalach, Taisus is saying the Gemara is asking on the semantics. To which Rav Papa answered, we also force people to do a mitzvah. It's not a steer to my lashon of calling it a mitzvah because Besen forces him, as we find that Besen forces on any mitzvah to say, including sukkah and lulav. So Priyas Bal Chayv won't be any different. Taisus then says a different Mahalach, that Rav Kahana was asking Rav Papa, what happens when the loiva says, I don't want to pay? That we find in Erechin, that we're not niskakti nichse yisayim ktanim, which is mashma, that if the yisayim are gedolim, we do force them to pay their father's chayv. That's talking about where the yisayim gedolim didn't say anything. Kolzman, they don't say, we don't want to do the mitzvah of Priyas Bal Chayv, Besen will go to the nechasim and pay back the malva. However, if the yisayim, or even a regular loiva, says, I don't want to do the mitzvah, what happens in that case? To which Rav Papa replied, even if he says he doesn't want to do the mitzvah, Besdin always forces a person to mekayim a mitzvah saseh, and therefore they will force him to pay back the chayv. Taisus gives a third option. The Rosh also understands the same, that the Gemara of course holds that if there is karka, that's meshubit, clearly the malva can be gaiva from the loiva, even from Yisayim G'daylim of the loiva. However, it's talking about the loiva is without any karka, and he's Taylim Aysav Benachri. He's basically saying he doesn't have any money to pay the loan, or he's trying to get rid of his money to spend it in Raven where the loiva won't be able to pay back the malva. Does Bezdin intervene and force him to pay with the money that he has? To that, Rav Papa answered, of course, Priyas Bal Chayv is a mitzvah. Mele Besen is kaifan ala mitzvahs. And we force him to pay back with the money that's available by him. And we don't allow him to get rid of the money before the malva has a chance to collect with it. Now, Taisus over here, the Ramaschal Priyas, and the Rosh over here, summarize the halachas of Priyas Bal Chayv regarding Yisayimim. If the father borrowed money from a malva and the father died, when do the Yisayimim have to pay the father's chayv? So it goes like this. If the father left over karka, that's meshubid to the chayv. But the rule is, ein nifroim, nechse Yisayimim ktanim, you cannot payback alone from the chasma of Yisrael Miktanim because they're not b'nei mi'avad mitzvah nenu. You can't force them to do a mitzvah. And therefore, the malva has to wait till they become gedolim. However, from the chasm of Yisayim gedolim, they can be goiva the chayiv. And that's if the father left over karka. If the father left over only metaltalim, so then it's a mitzvah on the Yisayim to pay, mishum kiburav. However, if they don't, Bezin cannot force them, because mitzvah kiburav is a mitzvah that's matan schara betzida. And the rule is, any mitzvah that the Torah writes the schar right next to it, by kibud av v'aim, it says, l'man yarichun yomecha, such a mitzvah, there's no kfiyah mitzad bezdin. Bezdin cannot force on such a mitzvah. Therefore, they're supposed to, it's a mitzvah for them to, but they do not have to pay back the chayiv through kfiyah of bezdin. Yet there is one case where bezdin will force them to pay back their father's chayiv, even if they just yarshin the metaltalin and not karka. That's a case that the Gemara brings in Baba Kama, Daf Tzadik Dalet. If the father left them a davar mesuyim, a para or a talis, something that's known it was the father's, in that case, Bezdin forces the assignment to pay back, even though it's metaltalin and there was no real shibud on that. The reason is because that's not just for the mitzvah of kibud. Rather, if they don't pay back the chayiv, it will be a kloin. It will be an embarrassment for the father. And therefore, when there's a case of kloin, Bezdin will force the yisayimim to pay back the chayiv. Rabbi Chanan Kevitz Shurim explains the difference between kibud and kloin. Kibud is the pasuk of kavod eschicha v'simecha, and it's matan zchor b'tzido because it says l'man yarichun yomecha. However, by kloin of the father, it says oro makla avivimai. By that pasuk, there is no matan zchara b'tzidai. Therefore, Bezdin will force the yisayimim to give the malva of their father a davar mesuyim that they yarshined from their father. L'chayr, there's a bit of a chiddush in that, where Rabbi Chanan explains that it's based on the pasuk of Aram Makla of Imoy, because the yisayimim aren't doing anything but poil to be mevaza their father. Sach hakol, they're just not doing something to take away the kloin. They're not doing a bizayin to their father. To say that's included in the pasuk l'chayra is a very big chiddush. It's l'chayra, one who doesn't take away their father's bizayin should not be b'chlal that pasuk of Aram Makla of V'imai. Therefore, it's probably more mustaber to explain Taisus that a case of kloin chazal made a takana to force the children mishum kibud. It's a stronger kind of kibud, and therefore the Chachamim forced the Yisayimim to give back the Davar Mesuyim to the Malva. But it's a Takana Midrabanan and not L'chayra, as Rabbi Chanan explains, because of the Pasuk of Aram Makla of V'imai. So far we spoke about if the father left them Karka, that Bezin forces them to pay when they're Gedolim. If the father left them a Tatlim, there's a Mitzvah Mishum Kibud, Bezin doesn't force them unless it's a Davar Mesuyim. Now that's all Medina de Gemara, that metaltli liyasmi are not mishtabdi to a bal chayiv. However, nowadays that metaltli liyasmi after the takanas agoinim is mishubit to a bal chayiv, the Rosh paskins, and it's really paskins shulchan aruch like that also, that nowadays metaltli have the din of karka, and memela, just like if they have karka, the yisayimim are mechuyiv to pay from the karka the father left over to them, the father's bal chayivis. The same way, the mechuyiv to pay with metaltalin that the father left over, and it's not just a mitzvah, it's actually a chiyuv gomer, just like karka. What happens if the father didn't leave them anything at all? Do the yisayim have to pay from their own pocket in order to pay off the father's chayiv, mishum kibud av? So on that, since we paskin in Masechta Kedushin that kibud av mishal av, and the son doesn't have to incur expenses from his pocket in order to mechabit his father, in such a case, even mishum mitzvah, there is no reason for the sons to pay the father's chayv. That's how the Hagos HaShri paskins over here in the sugya. Now, Rabbi Chanan points out on that, it should come out that even when the father left them the chasim, they shouldn't have to pay back the father's bal chayiv from the nechasim that they were yerush, because by the time they were yerush, it's theirs. So when they're paying up the father's chayiv mishal mitzvas kibudav, they're really paying mishal atzman. They're not paying mishal avian. It's not the father's nechasim. The father died already. Why do we say that if the father left over nechasim, that there's clearly a mitzvah for him to pay because of the mitzvah of kibudav? It's theirs already, and the klal is kibudav mishal av, and not mishal aben. And at this point already, it's mishal aben. The children own the money. So Rabbi Chanan explains that since it's the tzayrich of the mace to pay up his chayvais, anything that's the tzayrich of the mace, he comes before his yarshim. Tzarech kvura, tzarech of maseva, those things that are tzarech hamase, the mace retains some sort of ownership on that, and therefore, that's not considered kibudav mishal bein. Rather, in this case, it's kibudav mishal av. One who wants to see that how Rabbi Chanan elaborates on the idea of a mace's bailus in nechosim that are for him should take a look in Kevet Shurim, Ksubis, Eishin Yudalad. Now, one more interesting ha'ara on this noisei of Priyas Bal Chayiv Mitzvah. Rabbi Chaim asks a kasha. Since we say Priyas Bal Chayiv Mitzvah and it works with all the klalim of Kfiyala Mitzvahs, and it's a regular mitzvah like all other mitzvahs, the rule is that by mitzvahs, Hamavazes Al Yivazes Yeser Merchemish, a person is not mechuyiv to and is actually not allowed to spend more than a fifth of his nechasim in order to do a mitzvah. It should come out according to that, that if a person owes $1 million for a chayiv, and his whole net value is $2 million, it should be usur him to pay the entire chayiv. The only reason he has to pay is because of the mitzvah, priyas bal chayiv mitzvah, and he's paying 50% of his net asset value, which is much more than a chaymish. A chaymish is only 20%. So Reb Chaim asks, how can a person pay a chayiv that's more than a fifth of the value of all his nechasim? So Reb Chaim answers that although priyas bal chayiv is a mitzvah and it's comparable to other mitzvahs in different halachis, the gabe one nekuda, it's different than all other mitzvahs. By all other mitzvahs, if a person buys tzitzis or tefillin or lulav, when he buys it from his money, it's considered he spent his own money, and therefore more than a chaymish, one is not mechuyiv to or not allowed to even to spend on any particular mitzvah. However, the mitzvah of priyas bal chayiv is different. That even though it's a mitzvah, still when he pays up the chayiv, it's not considered that he spent his money. It's considered that he returned his friend's money, and therefore it's not considered that he was mevazvez more than a chaymish. After it's paid up, it's sort of igloy milsel mafreya that it was his friend's money in the first place. So therefore it's not considered that he was mevazvez more than a chaymish of his nechasim. This Reb Chaim is found in Chiddushei Agrah HaLashas on our sugya. Moving further in the blat on Amud Beis, the Mishnah brings machlekes Reb Elazar and the Chachamim. What happens if a man had his wife work for him as a chenvenis? She was a salesperson, or she was an apotropis for his business dealings, for his nechasim. According to the Tanakhama, he can make her swear a shvuas apotropsis. There is a shvua that a balabas who made a person an apotropis, he can mashpia the apotropis, that the apotropis did not steal anything from his nechasim. According to Reb Elazar, not only can he make her swear shvuas apotropsis, he can actually make her swear on the pilcha and isasa, the sewing kalim that she uses for the house or for the dough that she makes in the house. That means he can make her swear even for the household items that she used, that she didn't steal anything from him. That's the Mishnah. Now the Gemara asks the Shaila, Rabbi Lezer that says he can make her swear even al pilcha of al isasa. What does Rabbi Lezer mean? Does Rabbi Lezer mean that he can mashbia her through a gilgal of the shvuas apotropsis? He can megalgal on her also the shvua of pilcha v'isasa? Or does Rabbi Lezer hold that a man can be mashbia his wife on pilcha v'isasa, on the household items that she uses, even without gilgal? She has a din of an apotropis on all the things that she uses in the house. That's the Gemara Shaila. Now on the tzad that Rabbi Lezer holds that he's mashbia on pilcha v'isasa, that's only through Gilgul, Rashi explains that The Chachamim argue and hold, even through Gilgul, he can't be mashbiah her, because this shvuah is only a shvuah derabbanan, and the Chachamim hold, according to this side in the Gemara, that there is no Gilgul by a shvuah derabbanan. And Rabbi Elazar argues, and he holds, that he could be Megalgul by a shvuah derabbanan. Tosfos is very upset with that. There's no Havamina to say that Chachamim hold that one can't make Gilgul by shvuah derabbanan. It's mefurish in the Masechta Shavuos Daf Mem Ches that even by shvuah derabbanan one can make Gilgul. There's nobody that argues on that. So therefore, Tosfos explains the Gemara's Havamina that Rabbi Elazar holds that the shvuah on Pilcha Valisasa is only through Gilgul, while the Chachamim who argue hold that there is no shvuah like that through Gilgul is because of the Svara that the Gemara says later, that she can tell him, Kimun the Kadaikis Basraiku Lahai, you're so medayik, you're so medaktik when it comes to my dealings with your chafotzim, Lemotzina the other Bahadoch, I can't live with you. It's a matter of Shalom Bayis. She can't live with him in a house where he checks over every slight thing that she does. So that would be the reason that Chachamim hold that even through Gilgul, he can't be mashbiah her on Pilcha Valisasa. The other tzad in the Gemara is that Rabbi Elazar holds that even Lekatchilo he could be mashbiah her, even without Gilgul, he could be mashbiah her on Pilcha Valisasa. The maskan of the Gemara is that according to Rabbi Elazar, he could be mashbiah her even Lekatchilo, even without Gilgul Shua of Shua Sapatrupsis. Now, maskan of Sasunya, if Rabbi Elazar holds that he could be mashbiah her Lekatchilo, even without Gilgul, the Chum argue and say he can't be mashbiah her on Pilcha Valisasa. The Ran and Ritva write that's only if he wants to be mashbiah her Lekatchilo without a Gilgul. But the Chum also hold that if he was mashbiah Shvuas Apatrupsis, that he could be Galgul on her, the Shvuah on the household items also. This way, the Machlaikis between Rabbi Elazar and the Chachamim is not that big. Theoretically, we could learn that Chachamim argue even through Gilgul, he can't be mashbiah her al Pilcha Valisasa. But since we don't want to make the Machlaikis any bigger than necessary, we'll say that they only argue on the case of Lekatchila without Gilgul. But by Gilgul, even the Chachamim are moida that he can mashbiah her al Pilcha Valisasa. Now, regarding the Svara of the wife could say, Kimin de daikis kula haile matzina de eder badoch, I can't live with you if you're so medactic in everything that I do. Tosfos compares that to a Yerushalmi that explains the shita of the Chachamim, that he can't be mashbiah her on Pilcha Valisasa, because imato oimer kein ain't shalom b'bayis. There'll never be shalom in the house, loyla. Shavra kalim, if she broke kalim in the house, mayat avad, what are you going to do? You're going to call her Kishemer Chinam? Is she going to have to pay like a Shemer Chinam or Kishemer Sachar? Does she pay like a Shemer Sachar? Yerushalmi is Masik. I feel like a Shemer Chinam, she's not a Shemer Chinam, because if she has to pay for breaking a glass or breaking the husband's Kalim, there'll never be Shalom Bayis. Therefore, she's Potter from paying the husband if she was Masik, something not bemazed of the husband's. And therefore, she can't be Mashbiyar either. Al Pilchav Ali Sasa. The Rambam in Perek Chaf Aleph Melchas Ishus paskins that a woman who broke kalim of her husband, she's potter. And the Rambam says, Ein zeh min adin. It's not meikar din. Meikar din, she shouldn't have to pay for it. El takono. It's a takono the Chachamim made. Shemeinat oimer kein. If you don't say like that, then you're mechayver to pay. Ein shalom bayis loyalam. There'll never be shalom in the house forever. The Rambam paskins like the Yerushalmi that Tosfos brings. Now, the Ravid argues. The Ravid says, the reason a woman is potter if she broke her husband's kalim in the house is because it's Shmira Bebailam. Because the husband, who's, so to speak, the mafkid over here, is also sochler to her. He's working for her all the time. He's mechuyev to bring parnosan for her. He's mechuyev sheir ksusa vayinosa. Therefore, since he's meshubit to her, it's called Shmira Bebailam, and any shomer who takes a pikadoin and the mafkid is working for them at that time, it's called Shmira Bebailam, and they're potter. The Ravid holds it's not a takoni, he holds it's meikar din. However, the Magid Mishnah explains the reason the Rambam holds that you have to come onto the takona and it's not considered shmir b'bailim is because the husband is not working for the wife only when he's doing things for her. But it's not a constant chiyuv that he's sachar to her all the time. Now, the Mishnah Melech over there points out that the Ravid is a tremendous chiddush. Since when do we find a Ptura Shemir Bebailim regarding a Mazik? Because if she'd be Chayiv, she'd be Chayiv Alts Mazik, not Alts Shemir Sheposha. In the end, the Mishnah Lamelech is Mazik that Hezek Shleib Kavana regarding this would have a din of Pshia and therefore would go under the Ptura of Shemir Bebailim. The Mishnah Lamelech, again, is in Perik Chof Aleph Halacha Tes from Hilchos Ishus.
You have been listening to the Shiurim of Shas Illuminated. Shas Illuminated is a non-profit organization dedicated to broadening the learning of those studying the Daf worldwide. If you would like to make a donation or to dedicate a Daf or Masechta, please visit our website at shasilluminated.org or call 203-312-SHAS. You can also email us at shasilluminated@gmail.com.